listening to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Men continue to outnumber women in many fields of science and engineering. One Illinois program, Maker Girl, is trying to narrow that gap, especially in rural areas. That's where they want to give girls hands-on experience with 3D printing. In a few minutes, we'll be speaking with one of the creators of that program. But first, our producer, Christine Herman, went to a Maker Girl workshop to see what it's all about.
Disney tunes are playing in the background when I walk into the 3D printing lab in the business instructional facility.
That is so awesome. I love that.
Six girls who had signed up for the space theme session are seated at computers along the periphery of the room. In the middle are 12 3D printers, cube-shaped devices not much bigger than a toaster oven, which would be used later in the evening to print out the designs the girls are working on.
My name is Caitlin Deegan, and I'm a sophomore in materials science and engineering.
She's leading today's workshop.
This is Print Your Way to Space. So today we're going to be printing things that have to do with space. So they could come up with anything. Like they could print an alien if they want to, a spaceship, like anything, a planet.
I'm going to design Mars, which is just going to be a sphere with kind of a ridge because there's this valley. I think it starts with an M. I don't really remember, but...
That's 8-year-old Nora. She's pretty into this project. She likes to sit in front of the computer with her legs scrunched up on the chair and her arms wrapped around her knees.
Well, you basically use that design maker thing. I suppose if this is going to be for the radio, people won't see it, but it's like a grid where you can put 3D shapes on it. It's called Tinkercad, and the grid is blue, and the different shapes are different colors. And there's a shape called Paraboloid, which is a very odd name. From here, it kind of looks like a triangle, except with a rounded top. Roundish, pointy.
She doesn't end up using that roundish, pointy shape in her design, but she chose a couple of other shapes to make Mars.
I have just a sphere with a cylinder hole on its side. I might do maybe something on the top and bottom to be like the poles, because it's like a little bump or something. If I can find out how to do that.
One of the volunteers helps Nora get the poles in place. Then they transfer the file to an SD card and bring it over to a 3D printer.
There we go. Make sure it's actually functioning. I don't know what we'll do if it's not. Honestly. Oh, yep, it's working.
The printer takes a minute to warm up.
It's going to take quite a while. Why is the time left increasing? It's saying, like, time left 1 hour. That's kind of crazy.
It didn't take an hour to print. Maybe, like, 10 minutes. But when you're 8, that can feel like forever.
But the fact that it takes forever probably implies that it's a really good project, so...
Nora stares through the clear front window of the 3D printer as she watches her design print out layer by layer.
It's done half of the circle so far. It's tiny, but the whole thing had to be tiny, so...
Nora's design is finally complete. It's about the size of a small keychain.
Smells not very good, actually. But it's heated up plastic, so... Eh. I don't think that heated up plastic really does ever smell very good.
I ask Nora what she plans on doing with it.
Maybe, like, show it to friends, like... Here's this model of Mars that I 3D printed. By the way, 3D printing is really cool, or something.
The point of Maker Girls is to show girls how science is cool and can be used to help people. Maybe then they'll grow up and want to be a scientist or an engineer or...
So tell her about what you want to be when you grow up.
That's kind of personal.
Yeah. But Nora tells me she does like science and library. As for what Nora wants to be when she grows up, she never did tell me, so we'll just have to wait and see. For The 21st, I'm Christine Herman.
And Maker Girl co-founder Julia Harriet joins us now in studio. She's a master's student at the University of Illinois. On the line with us from Macomb is Western Illinois University Assistant Professor Abba Singh. She's a science education researcher. Julia, Professor Singh, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Julia, let's start with you. We just heard the story of Nora, one of your Maker Girl participants. Is she the type of girl you're trying to reach?
Yeah, exactly. We love having girls like Nora, as you heard through the before piece. She loved Maker Girl. She really understood what we were doing and really took advantage of the opportunity to kind of create something that she wanted in the world.
Professor Singh, when you hear the story of Nora, she's 8. As a researcher, I wonder, what does it make you think about Nora's exposure to science as an 8-year-old girl?
I definitely think that she can have much more exposure to science also. It's a good thing that she has this exposure. Like her, there can be many, many more students, I think, who can benefit from these kind of exposures just because of how the labor market is. We have to look ahead in the future for girls and for children like Nora who would benefit greatly. Yeah.
Is there specific research, Professor Singh, yet on girls and the difference early exposure to science can make for them?
Generally, there is very little research. But usually what is mentioned regarding the evidence and research that's out there is for generally elementary students. There isn't much information provided to them. There isn't much science, at least in the Western Illinois area here. Science isn't provided to them early on so that their curiosity and their interest, if it has been such at the earlier age, hasn't been developed. And so we are left with them not all interested in science by the time they reach middle and high school.
Yeah, because by then, if they haven't been exposed by middle and high school, do you think it's too late?
It is very late. I think so. Because science becomes very challenging and it becomes more difficult to do science if you don't know the real basics of science early on.
Julia, I wonder what your exposure was to science when you were a much younger woman and if that kind of was what was behind you starting Maker Girl.
Yeah, I think it definitely was. When I was young, I had two older brothers, so we played with rockets. We played with a lot of Legos. We hatched chicks when we were little. So we had a lot of STEM activities when we were young.
And you think that led to you now doing a Master's of Accountancy in Science at University of Illinois?
Yes, I think it definitely did. It definitely piqued my interest, and especially after starting Maker Girl, I wish I had loved science even more and had more programs like Maker Girl to really show me that I could do really cool things.
I want to talk a little bit more about Maker Girl, Julia, because we heard about the Print Your Way to Space workshop. What other Yes. workshop themes do you offer?
Yeah, so we offer a wide range. So we do culinary creation. So we talk about 3D printing and how it affects the culinary industry. So currently they have a 3D printer that prints chocolate, which is pretty cool. We have a passion for fashion. So a company called Bobble Bar actually creates iterations of their jewelry pieces in 3D prints before they produce them. So it cuts down on costs for them.
And right now I know Maker Girl is in three locations for you all, in Champaign, Chicago, and Southern Illinois. But you're raising money through a Kickstarter campaign for a road trip? What's that about?
Yeah, exactly. So as the professor was speaking to, there's not a lot of resources for girls, especially in rural areas. So we're launching Maker Girl Goes Mobile, and we're going to reach rural areas with this 3D printing mobile truck. So we're going to go all across the country and teach about 1,500 attendees how to 3D print.
And how do you think 3D printing, why do you think that's such an important part of the process? Is it because it gives them something tangible?
Yeah, exactly. So kind of why we started with 3D printing is because we have this amazing 3D printing lab. It was one of the first 3D printing labs in a business school. So, and along with what you just said, yes, there is something tangible that the girls get to actually take home. And for girls, that's really meaningful, and they can show their friends, like Nora said in the video before.
And you actually brought a couple things along with us. Unfortunately, not Nora's Mars, because I imagine she took that home with her.
She did.
But what's that? You have is that a chess piece, that gray thing that you have there?
So this is also a piece from the Print Your Way to Space, and a young girl printed Earth. She wrote Earth
that's
on
Earth.
The side.
Okay.
Yes. And then she made a little body, so it kind of mimics her with different shapes.
And Julia, we heard Nora talking about shapes and other spatial. What kind of skills are they learning? Spatial skills, sort of planning? What kind of things go into creating these objects?
Sure. So they're using a CAD software. So they're learning how to CAD, which is awesome. And they're also drawing shapes and then kind of changing them in order to create what they want. So they don't just necessarily have a house that they can just put on the CAD software and print. So they actually have to get the square and then the triangle and put all the different pieces together in order to create the shape that they want.
And then do they also have to, I imagine, kind of figure out if that's a workable design? Does the software say, this won't work if they're trying to do something a certain way?
Yeah, exactly. So you can't just print in midair, which is a problem that we sometimes have and that we try to teach girls and that the girls actually need to learn in real life and that's actually that they need to implement in science.
And for Maker Girl, what ages are you specifically targeting?
We have girls ages 7 to 10.
Okay. Yeah. Professor Singh, as we're hearing about Maker Girl, in particular the skills that these very young women are learning. Earlier you mentioned that there's not much exposure. Are there specific regulations for Illinois education about how much elementary school children, how much science they need to be exposed to?
There is no requirement. It really is dependent on the school administrator, the school principal, and also very, very much dependent on the school teacher, and especially the classroom teacher. If the classroom teacher is confident in science, they'll bring in the science element to a huge degree. And if there is a little hiccups regarding how much they know about science, then there won't be any science in the classroom. So it's really dependent on individuals who are actually running the program.
And to your knowledge, is there data on how much science is offered at the elementary level throughout the state of Illinois?
Data as such isn't available, but from the National Assessment of Educational Progress from 2011, information is available for each state regarding how much our students are actually performing in as far as science goes. And there are only 34% based on the NAEP 2011 data, which is the most current available as of now, 66% of students in grade 4 are not performing at an average level for science.
So you're saying two-thirds of fourth graders in Illinois are below standards of what we would want them to be in terms of science knowledge and education.
Absolutely.
Wow. And how much of this do you think is because of an emphasis on Common Core standards? I know that's a whole other conversation, but I was just curious about what your thoughts were on that as a science researcher.
Yeah. I can identify three main factors. And again, this is from research that's out there, and it's from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, as well as the NAEP. There are three main reasons that are, I think, underlying, and this is something that I definitely agree with, that the curriculum and instruction for science is absent. And there may be brief themes that actually are taught at that from kindergarten to maybe fourth grade, and dependent on the level that the teacher is comfortable with. So there may not be any curriculum existing for science, and the National Science Education Standards, which are the current ones, the Next Generation Science Standards, are not mandatory for everybody to follow. So obviously the teachers don't follow them. So curriculum and instructions are absent, then the educator development as far as the pre-service teacher, and then professional development for them. And of course, the standards that they address. Common Core, yes, is for only math and literacy, and science is absent from the Common Core, and therefore the Next Generation Science Standards were instated.
So, Professor Singh, it sounds like you're saying curriculum and then also educational standards, education for
educator development, and then standards
are sort of the three things that need to be developed. We just have about a minute left, so I wanted to ask both of you, when you talk with Professor Singh, particularly teachers, Julia, when you speak with parents, what do you tell them about how to get girls more interested in science like this? Julia?
Sure. So we definitely want these girls to be active in all different types of STEM, not just Maker Girl. So we also provide them with a bunch of resources and a newsletter that goes out monthly so that they continue STEM education at home or in different programs.
We'll have all the links about Maker Girl up on our website at 21st Show. And if you follow us on Twitter, we'll put that information out as well. Professor Singh, thanks so much for joining us as well. I wonder if you just have, just really briefly, is there one or two words of advice you could offer for parents?
Yeah, the big advice that I can offer to anyone is, I'll say what my parents used to say to me, that you educate a man, you educate a man. But when you educate a woman, you educate a whole village. so if you put in a lot of the influx and the potential into a girl, I think it goes way beyond.
Thank you. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. It's Professor Abba Singh, who teaches curriculum and instruction at Western Illinois University. Thanks also to Julia Harriad, a co-founder of Maker Girl and a graduate student here at the University of Illinois. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the 21st today. On Monday, we'll be talking about President Obama's historic trip to Cuba and what that means for Illinois businesses, especially our corn and soy farmers. The 21st is produced by Amanda Cunningport and Christine Herman. Jay Croft is our technical director. He gets help from Steve Mork. Scott Cameron is our news director. And a special shout out today to the band Public Access for some of the music you've heard this week on the show. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. This is the 21st.